Hallelujah. Why don't we do that right now? Let's just exalt him. Lord, we love you. We thank you for what you are to us, what you mean to us. We serve an awesome, awesome, awesome God. And I thank him for all he does for us, through us, with us. You know, there's not a perfect, don't want to offend you, there's not a perfect person in this building. But we serve a perfect God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a grace, life-changing, all-power-inspiring God. We serve a God who can take your broken hearts, take your frustration, take your fear, take your doubt, and he can just re-sculpt you and make you. And sometimes when he's chiseling away the pieces, it can be painful. It can be sometimes frustrating. It can be scary. But if you'll just hold to that unchanging hand and just keep exalting him and loving him, things will begin to happen in your life and in your world that you didn't believe was possible. And the God of glory really does care about you. And he really is concerned about your fear and your frustration. So don't get disappointed in the process. Don't lose faith or hope in the journey that you're on. I've always heard it's not about the destination all the time, the trip that you're taking. It's about the journey that you gets you there. And when you look back, some of the best memories, unless the engine falls off the plane, some of the best memories are getting there. And what it took to, I finally made it. I finally did it. Oh, I exalt thee, Lord. I thank the Lord every day for the opportunities that we have. What a wonderful, wonderful land that we live in. Not perfect. There's chaos. There's politics. There's junk going on all around us. But boy, look at this facility. God's blessed and we're able to assemble together. We're not having to hide in a basement. It took me down in some of these little passageways that some of them weren't as wide as this pew and like this, and I'm like going like this through it. Not fun. You can be seated. Not fun at all. But they would go hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of feet just to get to a little room where they could sing, I exalt thee. I lift you up, Lord. I praise you. To say, hallelujah. To say, glory to God. They couldn't do it openly on the street. We are blessed. We are blessed. I'm going to keep the young people in tonight. I want to talk just for a little while. Glad Alec is home. Glad Brett and Caitlin are home, the kiddos. Glad Kelly is home. I'm glad Mama didn't wrangle him up there. I think we ought to just move her down here permanent. I'm glad all of you are here. Enjoyed having Sister Cindy with us on Sunday. If you don't know, that's Brother Daryl's girlfriend. I told her flat out, I said, I don't remember exactly how I worded it, but I was trying to get him in trouble, and she looked at me and grinned and said, they've already warned me. What's that? I didn't say that one yet. That's next time. You're not as ugly as he said you were. That one might get you, huh? If I go missing, y'all know why. Yeah. We are going to be having a men's skeet shoot again, and I'm sure some of the ladies are going to be welcome to come to it as well. Those dates will be announced in the very near future. I want to talk just for a little while about abounding spiritual growth. And I want to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. If you can go ahead and put it up there for us. I have a portion of it in my notes, but I want to read the whole thing. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. abound more and more. Paul then added this exhortation, so ye would abound more and more. Jesus, bless us today as we come to hear your word. Open our minds and our hearts to receive you. Lord, I'm asking that you guide and keep each word that I speak in love and in your will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. To abound, say that word with me, abound. To abound means to increase, to increase. Paul was saying, you've been sitting under great gospel preaching. You've been fed the word. So now you have this solid foundation. Every structure you come in, you don't start with the ceiling tiles being put in and the lights being put in. You start with the foundation and you build a foundation. And once the foundation is built, then you begin to put up walls and then you put on the roof and you begin to put the structure together. But first you've got to have a foundation. All of us spiritually have to have a foundation. So he's telling them, brethren, you have a foundation beneath you. So you ought to begin to increase in grace in all ways, in your faith, in your knowledge, and in your love. You don't come out into the world and you're Emily's age and all of a sudden you have a law degree or a doctor's degree or you wish you study and you work at it and you apply yourself and you try. It doesn't mean it's easy at all. I met with a doctor this week and he was talking about some stuff that he has and $4 million home in California and a $2 million home in Lafayette and a $1 million home over here. And just the things that he's acquired through his profession. He's 41 years old. He didn't come out doing that. And I begin to look, I'm 40 years old. If I ever have a $1 million house, it'll be a miracle. Much less a $4 million house on the coast that you just go to when you want to. You know, they get on their private Lear jet that they own, and his wife flew out today to go stay in California. I wouldn't know what to do with it. Probably why God hadn't given it to me. It's okay. There you go. That's why you have a Lear jet, so you can come back. They have great tacos at El Gordo in Chula Vista, California. That's why. They cut this meat off the spit. This ain't even in my sermon. But they cut this meat off of this spit, and it's amazing. Change your life good, Brother Doug. I promise you. Well, there you go. You have a foundation. You are established. And that's okay. So Paul is telling them you have to be established. You have to begin to abound in your grace, in your knowledge, in your love. You've got to begin to grow. We begin to grow. We begin to accomplish things. We begin to excel in different areas of our lives because we work hard. Paul also spoke to the church in Corinth, and as ye abound in everything, this is in 2 Corinthians 8 and 7, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. He's saying, in other words, God's Spirit has wrought major changes in your life. Therefore, you ought to be moving and going and giving more and doing more of yourself in all ways, in your time, in your finances, in your talents. These passages make it very, very clear in the Scripture that everyone who's been fed God's Word is expected to begin to grow in faith. When you plant a seed in the ground and you begin to water and cultivate and take care of, you're looking for something to sprout up. If you drive down Interstate 10 right now, a sad sight is happening. They're pulling the crawfish pods and the fields are being drained, but these beautiful little green sprouts are coming up of rice. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I wish the crawfish pods were still there, but the rice is coming up. And they've got to work at that. They've got to cultivate it. They've got to put something into it. And that's what God is saying and Paul is saying here. You've got to begin to cultivate the gifts that God has given you. God has endowed gifts to every one of us for these express purpose to cause His church to grow. It takes all of us. It's not just one of us. It's not any one of us, but it's all of us collectively together reaching out and loving and protecting and growing together. No Christian is to remain a baby in Christ. We're expected to grow in Him so that we're not carried away in any false things or being pulled apart. I expect a baby to cry. I expect Emily to cry. I expect Autumn and Justin's babies to cry. Sprouts are coming up of rice. It's beautiful. It's amazing. I wish the crawfish pods were still there, but the rice is coming up. And they've got to work at that. They've got to cultivate it. They've got to put something into it. And that's what God is saying and Paul is saying here. You've got to begin to cultivate the gifts that God has given you. God has endowed gifts to every one of us for these express purpose to cause His church to grow. It takes all of us. It's not just one of us. It's not any one of us, but it's all of us collectively together reaching out and loving and protecting and growing together. No Christian is to remain a baby in Christ. We're expected to grow in Him so that we're not carried away in any false things or being pulled apart. I expect a baby to cry. I expect Emily to cry. I expect Autumn and Justin's babies to cry. I expect a baby to cry. I expect Emily to cry. I expect Autumn and Justin's babies to cry. I expect Avery to do a somersault and cry at some point. I expect that. It's when Sister Etta gives out a war whoop that I'll get worried. What's going on? Is the Indians coming? I'm going to start looking around because I know she's soft-spoken at times. Meek and mild-mannered, I just know this sometimes. We'll love you to death. I know if Alec takes off running down the outside of this thing, you better pick your feet up because there's probably a snake or a squirrel chasing him. I just expect that because of the nature. I just know. Really? You're going to fight that thing? Another reason for you to pick your feet up. You've got to have a foundation. You've got to begin to grow. You've got to begin to mature in the things of God. Jesus Himself speaks of a constant increase of our lives and in our lives. He says in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Wow, think about that. Not just a life, but to have a life more abundantly. Not to just settle for the mundane or this is my lot in life. No, I want to have more abundance. I want to be abound, not only physically and financially, but spiritually. I want to abound. I want to grow. I want to have increase. I want to have depth. I want to have a relationship with God that no matter what comes my way, I can find peace all around me. And when it's chaos and the waves, I can be at peace. Years ago, on a ship in Alaska, we had a sister ship. And I was actually driving one called the Miss Myanmar. And this sister ship had a young captain out of Florida, and the waves were cutting in pretty good. They were probably 25 to 30 feet, pretty jagged, stacked up, and that just means they're close together, and you don't ride over them and go down real nice. You bust through them, and you crash, and then the nose of your ship goes into the next wave, and you power down, and the ship will dip down in it to it, and if you don't power down the whole ship, you'll keep diving down. But you wait and you get the front end of the ship into it, and then you power up, and that whole ship goes just like that, and you'll shake, but you'll come out the other side. And I remember on the radio, this guy coming on screaming, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, we're gonna die, we're gonna die." He lost his job that day, and he tore up the boat because he wasn't taking care of the vessel. And even whenever the waves are stacked against you and they're pounding you from every side and you don't know which way, and I finally got on the radio on a private line and said, "Hey, power down, quarter into it, you're going to be okay. You've got passengers on board. You're scaring them." And you could hear the whole people in the back, "Jesus!" That was an Alaska trip they'll never forget, I promise you. It was. It was. And what was funny is he wasn't a praying man, but he was praying that day. It's amazing how when things begin to come at us, all of a sudden we know who Jesus is. But if we begin to increase and abound and have life more abundantly, Christ commanded many churches, the one in Thyatira, for having grown in grace. He commended them. "Thank you. You've grown in grace." Revelations 2:19, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first." Jesus was saying in essence to this church, you're more intense now than when you started out. You've allowed my life in you to grow more abundant. Proverbs echoes this in Proverbs 4:18. "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." Emily's trying to come out the front of the pew. I'm sorry. I'm just like, run, Emily. She almost got away. Mama got your foot, baby. But over and over in the Bible, we see examples of this. Job, he declares in Job 17:9, "The righteous also shall hold on his way, and he that hath clean hands shall be stronger and stronger." We see there's no place for sloth or laziness or stunted growth in the body of Christ. We've got to pull together. We've got to work together. So how do you feel about your growth in the Lord? Do you see a constant increase, Corey, in faith and hope and love and giving? Do you see an opportunity where we can begin to do something better and more? Tragically, many Christians judge their spiritual growth by outward conditions. Of course, most believers claim to live by faith and not by feelings, but in everyday practice, many do measure their spiritual lives by the way they feel. "Well, you know," I get this all the time, "Pastor, I just didn't feel good. That I woke up, I didn't feel good. We missed church, and we'll see you next service. Next service, Pastor, we had something come up." Okay. I sure am glad God is not like we are sometimes, not condemning anybody. But what if God came to us and said, "Hey, Alec, I'm going to be on vacation this next week. You got any troubles, you on your own. Don't even call me. You know, just hold your peace." How would you feel about that? That wouldn't be cool. That empty? There you go. It would be scary to know that God, you're not available. And I know things come up. I'm not getting on to anybody. I'm just saying, at some point, all of us got to make an investment to grow, not only in our attendance, in our giving, in our prayer, in our love, but in our grace, in our mercy, in our forgiveness, in our relationship with God, to do the best that we absolutely can. Others judge themselves because they hear so many sermons, but they can't retain anything from them. They worry that they're not intense or zealous enough for God, and God's not going to love me because I can't remember what was said. What was that scripture? It's okay. Keep loving. Keep coming. I'd like to share with you, I have several insights, but tonight we're just going to look at one briefly. Number one, a Christian can be growing in grace and not perceive it. That can happen. You may be totally oblivious to the tremendous maturing process that's actually taking place in you right now. You don't even realize it. Paul likens our spiritual growth to the growth of our bodies. He says our souls are nourished in the same way that our physical joints, muscles, and fiber. He calls this being increased in the increase of God in Colossians 2 and 19. He talks about that. Such growth comes from the head. Simply put, as you trust and abide in Christ, a never-ending flow of His life and His power and His mercy and His grace begins to be pumped into your soul. Jesus is a constant life force in your being and a living stream that never shuts out. He's there. You can call Him. You can whisper His name. His presence is there. He's there. He's everywhere. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, protect me. Jesus, give me wisdom. Show me your way. He provides a fresh supply every day, no matter how you feel on the outside. Doesn't matter. How do you think Israel survived for 40 years in the wilderness? They lived on manna, bread sent from heaven, the angels' food, and all the nutrients built into it that built up their immune system. And when all the other nations were having plagues and things happened, the children of Israel didn't have that because what God had supplied in their life protected them. Can I tell you tonight, God is supplying things in your life that you don't even realize right now, and He is putting the necessary things in place to protect you because the plagues and the naysayers and the doubters and the angry people are going to come and they're going to say whatever they're going to say. And you know what you can do? Because you've got the glory and the grace of God all up in your heart, you know what you can say to them? That's not a word. Hooby dooby doo on you. My God has prepared me for this moment. I'm bigger than this circumstance. You're not going to affect me that way anymore. You're not going to pull me down into doubt or fear anymore. You're not going to make me second guess my relationship with God anymore. Get behind me in the name of Jesus. Leave my family, leave my church, leave my future alone. And God is putting that power inside of you right now. You don't even realize it, but it's there. You watch. You watch. God's word promises that all who love Jesus will grow stronger in their spiritual immunity. Think about it. At times, you still may be tempted, but over the years, you've found growing power. And even when you've fallen flat on your face, deep down, you know, if I pick myself up and I get myself back in right relationship with God, God is going to bless and direct and guide like never before. Abounding, abounding, increasing, growing, maturing, spiritual growth. I'm asking you, God, anoint Faith Temple. Anoint every person here tonight, everyone who's not here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.